Leslie Fraser-Taylor at the Edinburgh International Book Festival, talking to David Peace. David, it's lovely to have you here. You've done such a lot of work over the years. Tell us a little bit about what your event is tonight.
Well, I'm here really because, I suppose, because my new book, Occupied City, is being published recently, and I'll be... I'm being very presumptuous, I suppose, I'll be talking about that book, but and I'll be reading from that book, and then there'll be some questions and answers between me and Paul Johnson, who's chairing it, who's a crime writer, and then I'm going to actually read a bit from an older book, GB84, which is the book I wrote about the miners' strike, and which was originally published for the 20th anniversary of the strike, but now we're at the 25th, so I thought I'd read a bit from that again, and then I mean hopefully then the audience will have, and they usually do in Edinburgh, have some questions, and
we've had some excellent audiences. Well,
this is, I think, the fourth time I've been here, and there are always good questions.
Now tell us a little bit about your new book then.
Well, it's the second of a trilogy set during the American occupation of Japan, and but really specifically dealing with Tokyo. So the first book was called Tokyo Year Zero, and dealt with the police investigation and hunt for a serial killer who was called Kodaira, who murdered 10 women in the summer of 1946. The second book deals with another real-life case, a much more famous case in Japan, which is known as the Teikoku Bank incident, where a Japanese man posing as a health official with the authority of the occupation entered a bank after it had closed for business and told the employees that there'd been an outbreak of dysentery in the area and he needed to inoculate them. He asked them to bring 16 teacups, one for each of the staff. He put medicine into each of the teacups. They drank the medicine down, and within a minute, 10 of them were dead. Two of them died later, and then four of them survived. And it was a huge case within Japan. It even made the newspapers here in Britain and also in America, and was the... remains the biggest police manhunt in Japanese history. Fast forward 6 months to the August of 48, and the police arrest a man called Hirasawa. He's charged, convicted, and sentenced to die for these murders. However, no justice minister in Japan has ever signed the death warrant, and he holds the dubious distinction of being the man who holds the record for living on death row the longest without being executed. He died of natural causes in the late 80s, and to this day there is a campaign in Tokyo in Japan to posthumously clear his name. So it's a very well known case in Japan, whereas Tokyo Year Zero, the first book, was a much more obscure case.
How different is it writing about real life crimes, do you think, than just fiction?
Well, I mean, the first book I ever wrote, 1974, was basically fictional crimes. I think for me, if I'm going to write about real life crimes, I do have a responsibility to the victims of the crimes, and I also have to have, I think, a very good reason to do it. And I don't choose these crimes lightly, and I don't choose them for their kind of voyeuristic or kind of macabre aspects. I think that these crimes are a way to understand the society in which they took place. I think they have a political, economic, social dimension to them. And so I saw these, but there will be, the third book also deals with a real life crime, but it's a bit slightly different because people don't know if it was a crime or not, because it's not clear whether it was murder or suicide. But you know, I felt that these crimes were a way to explore how it was for Japan to be, you know, the defeat, what it felt like to be defeated, what it felt like to be occupied, and then how did they rebuild themselves from the ashes of defeat and from the American occupation. And I thought these crimes were a way to explore that, and said something beyond the actual deaths involved.
Just the story itself. Is it very difficult to do the research, taking that it's in Japan?
Well, it's difficult if you're an idiot who can't speak Japanese. Like I lived in Japan 15 years, but my reading was really like poor, and so I did need the help of my Japanese editor a great deal. So it was difficult to do it, and particularly with Occupied City, it was just a huge case. It's such a huge case anyway that the research was at times almost overwhelming.
And how long does it take you to, well, I suppose from having the idea, doing the research, to the book actually coming out? Because it sounds like a very long process.
Well, yeah, the idea of writing the idea was originally a quartet, but the trilogy, I had that idea like probably, you know, well over 10 years ago, the actual idea. And so then the process of kind of gathering notes and things begins then. The research for this book took a year, and I mean it could have taken years, but I drew a line under it after a year, and then there was the writing itself took about a year. But that includes like obviously three drafts of the book in that space of time.
And what other things have you done in your career? Because obviously you've done other things that you've enjoyed doing.
Like what do you mean?
Well, I'm just thinking about, you know, the fact that you've had a book made into a film.
Oh, right. No, I thought you meant that, you know, like when I was a teacher or something.
Oh,
like
no.
No, I thought you got me confused with someone. I wrote the Red Riding Quartet, and they were, you know, this year they were shown on Channel 4 as the Red Riding Trilogy, and then I wrote GB84, which is in the process of being turned into a film, and then there was The Damned United, which was made into a film as well. So I've been very fortunate that people have been interested enough to do the work.
When these things are made into films, do you have an awful lot of input into that?
Well, actually, they were adapted while I was living in Tokyo, so it's not, you know, I physically was not present, but you know, the Red Riding trilogy was produced by Andrew Eaton and scripted by Tony Grisoni, and you know, it took a long time, and so we did become close during that, you know, but I mean, I wouldn't claim any credit for it. I mean, it was fair work. I mean, The Damned United happened much more quickly, and so there wasn't that, you know, it just happened much more quickly, so it wasn't quite as, when I say I was involved in Red Riding, I just got to know them better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do they stick fairly close to the story?
No, they don't. But I think that's what's good about them. Mm-hmm. A book and a film. Obviously, books and films are different works of art, and so. You know, it would be, you know, they should. All I really would hope is that. In their own right, they are great, and it doesn't really matter to me. You can't expect things to be fake. You know, it would be. I mean, I'm not going to lay down laws and rules and things like that.
Well, it's been very interesting speaking to you, today, and I hope you have a lovely event this evening.
Are you
in Edinburgh for long?
We came yesterday, and we go tomorrow. So no. But you see me. My mother was from Edinburgh, so I know the place very well. Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure to speak to you tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Thank you.